This is KI9NG, mobile and border.
KI9NG, KD2GSW, good morning.
KD2GSW, KI9G. Well, I can't even see my call sign with that. I gotta get rid of this. There we go. Okay, sorry, I had some feedback, some local monitoring going on my side. Where are you? Are you on the W9LY, Al?
Yes, I'm on the W9LY. I am northbound on 49, about to cross over the toll road.
Okay, copy that. Must be keeping the radio on scan there to catch me, huh? I had an electrical engineer take a look at my schematic yesterday. He didn't, I don't know, WB9YPA. He's done some stuff and some things with some RF and some analog audio pathways and stuff, and he looked at it and didn't have any real criticism at all for me, positive or negative. I think I talked to you about it, right? The Raspberry Pi SA818 interface, all-in-one card that I'm working on.
Yes, you mentioned it. I know I said I would offer to take a look at it as well. It's kind of been swamped getting everything ready for Thanksgiving. Got both sides of the family coming into town and hosting, so you know I've kind of been a little literally radio silent. But that's a real exciting little project you got going.
Yes, I'm very excited for it. I'm at a roadblock in my knowledge. I think I told you this too. I'm having a trouble going from schematic to circuit board because of my lack of understanding of KiCad and how to link the schematic, what do they call them, symbols to actual footprints. And then even once I get that figured out, right, then I need to learn how to choose actually orderable, components from whatever PCB manufacturer I intend to use. I think that's, yeah. So, I think my first step, though, well, I don't know. I really don't know. I wonder if what I should do is make up a completely through-hole PCB, except for the SA818, the CM108B, and the Raspberry Pi, right? Well, even the Raspberry Pi, I want to make that a through-hole component as well. But make it even better, even one better, put the Raspberry Pi on a pin header and then have a pin header on the board that accepts it. And then have lots and lots of test points and through-hole components for the capacitors, all the passives, and even the transistor. There's one transistor that's required. And that way I can just kind of prototype it.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the easiest way to do physical testing on the board. I know, I forget how we, I don't know if I mentioned it, but my senior design project that's now like 8 years ago was a PCB that we designed and all came and printed for motor controls, and it was a buck boost motor controller, current limiting motor controller, for a little electronic parking brake, but I don't remember if we did anything like that. We kind of just sent it off to the, we had it looked over by somebody at Purdue who was more knowledgeable than us, and just sent one off to be printed, and I think one or two revisions later, we had something that worked well enough for us to finish the project. So, I don't even know what it costs to just send out a one-off or a two-off test print for a PCB, even a fully populated one. But yeah, through-hole would be the easiest way to kind of reuse the test board if you need to modify it.
Well, yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of it would be easy to get the components, but you know, you make a good. I think inadvertently you made a good point there, and probably what I should just do is build it up on a breadboard. You know, I guess that's always the first test, right? And then if there's some audio quality issues, I can chalk it up to, well, that kind of ruins it, right? Because then what's the point? Because if there's audio quality issues due to the components or the circuit layout, then it's not, that won't show on the breadboard. I'll end up with audio issues, and I won't know whether it's the breadboard or the design. So yeah, that's probably the best bet. But in the end, I hope to have the CM108, all the passives, all the other components, everything except for and then I'm thinking about using U.FL connector, so even that can be pick and placed surface mount, right, from the factory. Basically, I was hoping to have everything except some pin headers, the Raspberry Pi, and the SA818 module, have those all installed by whoever, whatever PCB manufacturer I want to use. So that'll probably be third iteration. It's looking like this whole process is probably going to end up costing me about $500 to get a very good final project, final product, something that could be released, which brings me to another thing that I probably should get going on is putting a blog up at ki9ng.com.
Yeah, you make a good point with the audio quality and issues with the breadboard. I'd say the breadboard might introduce more issues for RF or audio quality issues than your final print would. So I guess it's six of one, half dozen of the other. You can troubleshoot physical layout real well, but you won't know if signal quality issues are what the cause of it is. But yeah, $500 is not terrible at all considering what you're trying to do, and especially if you can even sell them once you're done, a little PayPal web store or something like that. If there's a large demand for it.
I'm building on the backs of the Shari, Shari project. So I wonder if that's something that I should look into, is trying to, you know, communicate with some of the members of that team. Because, I mean, my schematic is basically straight out of theirs. The only difference being that I've got it set up to attach directly to the Raspberry Pi on the same board. Their project is a hat. Well, they have two different models, right? So they've designed a hat, and I don't think that it went over very well, the hat model. I think it's just because Raspberry Pis do not break out the USB interface to the GPIO pins, the 40-pin GPIO header that's on a Raspberry Pi. So when you buy the Raspberry Pi hat, or the Sherry hat, you plug it into the 40 pin, and then you take two wires and you connect them to the USB connector. And so I don't think that that's been a very popular item with them. However, an all-in-one solution like this might be a little better. The only other addition that I'm making to their project is to add a battery charging circuit, and I haven't even gotten to that point in the design phase yet. That's kind of the next step, and I'm thinking that it'll end up being a daughter board.
Yeah, that's interesting the way the Raspberry Pi works. I've worked with Arduinos a bunch more than Raspberry Pi, so I'm trying to think. The Arduino has a completely separate USB interface, but I could be mixing my things up. I think the last time I did anything, now I can't remember if that's Raspberry Pi or Arduino, but I bought a keyload interface, the open, KBL Shield, KFD Shield, one of the open source P25 keyloader interfaces that work with. Now I still can't remember Raspberry Pi or Arduino, but that was the last project I did anything with that.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that. That sounds fun, a P25 interface. And that brings up another thing that I'm interested in doing that I don't think I brought up to you. I kind of had this thought recently. I want to send arbitrary data between two MMDBMs, via UHF. Via DMR, well, whatever, right? Because the MMDBM supports basically all the different modes. I wonder if that would require an AMBE codec. But the Raspberry Pi has enough. Well, no, that wouldn't be AMBE, would it? Because the AMBE is strictly for voice. I have no idea how. Okay. So the goal would be to use the MMDBM in the same way that when you hook a Motorola up to a computer, you can get an IP address from it and then send IP frames from one Motorola radio to another Motorola radio. That's kind of what I'd like to try to do with an MMDBM.
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways to do that because people are already linking MMDBM together for voice. I know that's the P25 network here in Indiana is linked with MMDBM. So there's definitely a way to link them and interface them. I know that's over IP, regular cell modems, at least at a couple of the sites. And then there's another interesting project that you mentioned, the Motorola IP linking. You can use the 9600 baud data connector on the back of a lot of the XTL series radios and have them as a remote radio console. So it's the same guy, Pat W3XL, who sets up the Valpo P25 machine. His home setup is a fully networked rack of XTL 2500s for VHF, UHF, and 800s, and he's got that all to a Python-based console. So it's pretty cool. It looks kind of like a dispatch setup. So many different avenues you can take between IP, RF, and all that good linking stuff.
Is the N9IAA still doing weird things, Al? I turned on the radio this morning, and noise coming out of the NIAA on Altstar.
I didn't even try the NIAA. I went right to you on the spam list here. I don't know. I can jump over there. Am I doing okay getting into this one? I'm at 80, 94, and 65 right now.
You are doing surprisingly well. There was some popcorn with you previously. I don't know if you were standing still during that last transmission, but yeah, there was nothing with that one. That one sounded really good. I tried a bit ago. I probably could. I'll link it in, and then if it's making noise, I'll immediately disconnect it. But stand by. I'm going to link it in real quick. So there it was. It's still doing funny things. I'm surprised that it's not coming in on your scan list. It probably timed out the transmitter.
Yeah, I just stayed on this one to try to not miss you coming back, but I heard the noise coming through on this side.
Yeah, I think it has. I wonder if somebody's using the Plymouth repeater. There's all kinds of gremlins there that I am not aware of. I sure would like to find out more about it. I want to talk to Joe also. I don't know if you have him followed on the YouTube there, but he recently posted a video about data on MERS, and he was interfacing. On the video, he creates an interface for some MERS radios. I believe they were Kenwoods. That was an interesting video. A lot of little hurdles there to take care of. KD2GSW, KI9NG.
KI9NG, KD2GSW. Yeah, he's probably using an actual MERS radio for the video, and then probably the majority of people troubleshooting may or may not. Lost my train of thought. I don't know Joe. I know you've mentioned a Motorola Joe before. Is this the same guy? But I don't believe I know him.
Call sign N9TAX, November Niner, Tango Alpha X-ray, creator or fabricator of the N9TAX roll-up Slim Jims. He had a booth at Fort Wayne Hamfest, and last year, or this year, I guess, I ran into him at convention, him and Kevin, and he helped me out with some soldering and stuff, and it was good times. But, he seems to be a similar vein of interest as myself when it comes to a lot of things, technical anyway. Good dude.
I have one of those roll-up roll of staples. Doesn't he, maybe I'm getting things confused, isn't he also the trustee or the owner of the Doppler 700 GMRS machine, or am I mixing things up?
You got it, that's the same guy, WRZH, I can't remember the numbers, I can't copy the numbers on the repeater ID that fast yet. I'm not very good with numbers.
Yeah, I've figure it was, I don't know where I heard it, but yeah. Probably a, yeah. With, man, I can't talk this morning. I've put some coffee over to green tea, and it doesn't have the same effect, so I'm still waking up here. You know, the words aren't working yet.
Hey, roger that. Well, I'm going to bid you adieu there, sir, and focus on the road. It's a little sketchy today. Low visibility for me. I got crappy windshield wipers. And you're getting pretty staticky anyhow. So, yeah, I will catch you later. And hope you have a good day at work. And if I don't catch you before then, I hope you have a nice Thanksgiving. And 7-3. KD2GSW, KI9NG.
Likewise, Phil, very happy Thanksgiving. I'm exactly 2 miles away from Klein, so pretty good shot here on 8094. Happy Thanksgiving. Good talking to you. 73, KI9NG, 82, GSW.
KAHUGB Buchanan.
This is KI9NG Mobile in Michigan City.
Here you are.
Oh yeah, I'm everywhere, Tony. Don't you know?
I know. I was looking for you on APRS, but I haven't seen you yet. KAHUGB, not in Michigan City. Sure I'm not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're not much of a, you haven't gotten around to messing with, KiCad, have you?
No, sir.
Yeah, I don't know what I did wrong. I think I'm going to have to uninstall, delete all the files, save my schematic, of course, and then work on my library, my KiCad library. I think the issue is that I modified the global library, and I think I was supposed to modify the user library. Yeah, I don't know. It's all very confusing.
Yeah, I know managing those resources like that. Yeah, and there's a lot of other things that work kind of the same way. Whether you're working with software-defined devices or you're working with a CAD program, you've got to be careful which is which.
Yeah, roger that. I had a revelation about the, and it's going to be a form factor, determining factor. Form determining factor, how about that? That sounds better. I think I'm going to get the BioNO 0.78 or 0.68 watt hour battery, or is it, no, it's 68 watt hour battery. That should give me 24 hours of power for the All-Star node. I think that's sufficient.
So, as you mean, for the one that you carry in your vehicle?
Well, the one I carry in with the vehicle here is fine. I've got a 90-watt-hour power bank that I use for that most of the time, and that lasts me almost 3 days. You know, if I shut it off when I get out of the truck and then turn it back on when I get back in the truck. And so I've got that all in a Pelican case or an Apache case with an antenna sticking up out of the top. I'm working on an all-in-one solution. Right now, I've got a board with a C-Media chip on it and an SA818 module and a USB port that I hook up to with a wire, a Raspberry Pi 02W, and it's just not all one solution, you know. And so I want to put all on the same board. I want to put the C-Media chip, the SA818 module, and the Raspberry Pi all on one board with a charge controller. But the BioNTech has a built-in charge controller. So I found some USB-C power delivery, what are they, doggone it? They're called... Oh, I can't remember. Either way, you set the jumper. I can set it for 12 volts, and that'll hook right up to the BioNTech and charge it. And then on the other way around, I found some real small buck converters that are good enough. I've been using them. They'll go up to 24 volts and drop the 24 volts down to 5.
So how big of a box is your little your device for All-Star that you carry? Is it as big as I don't know, a deck of cards, or is it bigger?
Oh no, it's a lot bigger than that. It's 3 inches tall, 5 inches, and 8 or 9 inches wide.
Oh, and it probably has a good size display, doesn't it?
Oh, no display whatsoever. But it is—it's less than ideal. My goal is to make it the same size as that BioNTech battery, only a half an inch or an inch taller. You know what I mean? So the whole thing will fit in the palm of your hand and be about the same size as the Raspberry Pi. You know, full-size Raspberry Pi in a case, maybe a little thicker than that. That's the goal.
All righty. Well, I just backed into my parking spot. I'm going inside, and I'll turn the radio on in the office. I got to get on the computer and do some research for some parts. I went and analyzed a problem that a customer had with common mode noise and his every time his motor control would get up to full speed and 50 amps of load, it would trip out his boiler. Anyway, not that it means anything to you, but anything less than that, he could continue to run. So somehow or other, they just had the electricians in there changing the distribution system around, and somehow or other, we've got straight currents here and there. So I've got to put some common mode filters here and there. I'll be back in a moment.
Roger that. I will be in it for the long haul here. I'm heading to Porter. I'm going to load up, and then I've got to go out to Battle Creek tonight, and then I'll probably be off tomorrow. So we'll catch you. If we catch you, I'll be here, KI9NG. Yeah, there you are. Sound the same.
Oh. Bill, would you by chance, I know we've talked about some of this stuff, Linux and all that, but I know there's a version that some guys have got on a jump drive, and someone actually sent me the jump drive, but now I've in my messy office, I've misplaced it. But anyway, I think it's Linux. It has all kinds of ham radio stuff, and it's, I think, a guy by the name of Andy. Does that strike a bell?
Yes, it does, but I'm not going to be able to tell you what it was called. I downloaded one recently for Raspberry Pi called HamPi, but that's a different thing. There was another one, though. Yeah, yep, by a guy named Andy.
Because if I get it on a jump drive and I can get the netbooks to boot up with that, who knows, maybe I'll get, because I've got the Dell and the Toshiba, so somebody's going to end up with one or the other, right? So, rather than have it go to the use cycle.
Yeah, well, that is good of you. They certainly should not go to the recycle. Any idea what kind of processors they've got in them?
They're netbooks, so they have the Atom processor. You know, it's just an Intel processor, but it's, you know, it's just basically designed, you know, for a netbook. And two gigs of RAM, which is as much as they can handle.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm familiar somewhat with the Atom processor, but they put that name on a few different things, and they came in different flavors. So, I'm not 100% exactly sure what that would mean, but I'm sure it's enough to run WSJTX and Grid Tracker and Direwolf and all of those things. So yeah, sounds like a useful thing to have. Probably no USB-C, but I'll bet it's got a couple of USB-A holes.
Yeah, they both have 384 USBs. And of course they're old enough, so they're going to be USB 2.0s and not 3s, but it wouldn't matter anyway. Actually, I had used one. I used the Dell when I had Windows on it. I actually had Dell running my remote station for a while, but it was good, but if it wasn't as good as having a bigger computer do it, well, of course, that's all it was doing. It's all it could do.
Oh, yeah, copy that. Those would make mighty fine all-star nodes, radioless all-star node you could make out of either one of those.
See, now, I hadn't even thought about that. It's going to have at least as much processing power as most. I know the Raspberry Pis are getting pretty powerful, but these little netbooks probably... we'll run right alongside for at least for another few years.
Oh, I don't know about that. That Raspberry Pi 5 is really not anything to shake a stick at. I think it's octa-core. It's running at like, maybe it's a 4-core. I think it's like 1.2 gigahertz, and it comes with like 64 gigs of RAM of it, potentially. Those are really wicked. With they support the, what are they called? The tiny little fast drives. Not mSATA, the other one. They're wicked. So I think that they'd be better. But they're not cheap either. Just the board by itself $80.
Yeah, that stuff's getting a whole lot more affordable. I've got some little, I haven't put them in use yet, and I'm going to, hopefully over the weekend. I've got a couple little micro PCs, but they're not micro. They're running Windows 11, and it's, 16 gigs of RAM, and my phone's ringing. Can't even use the other day.
KI9NG.
89QGP testing. Low power testing.
I'm a little bit in there with you, but you're full quieting.
Roger that, I appreciate it. I'm not on the greatest antenna, so I was just seeing if I was getting out. It did pull up the repeater, so seems like it's working for now. I appreciate that. This is KD9QGP.
Copy that. Okay, talk to you a little bit. I got to get out of the car, W9DLP mobile.
Sounds good. Coming through. Thanks, Ken.
Somebody was mobile, but I cannot hear call signs that fast. Whiskey 9, Papa Romeo Kilo.
W9DLP mobile.
Maybe you didn't say it that fast, but just rolled off the tongue. Well, W9PRK, you got Rob over in the DeMont area.
Oh, okay, you got Dave over here in Michigan City.
Yeah. Homebound or, unfortunately, a night worker on your way to work?
A little of both. I'm at Walgreens right now. I had to run in there and get something. Now I got to go to CVS and then I'm going home. I already got the bank done and my other errands run.
Well, there you go. I mean, I just got home from work a little bit ago myself and checked on the guidelines for my antenna. For 2 meter, I've got a DX Engineering. I don't know. They don't make it, but it's from DX Engineering. It's a fiberglass 46-foot heavy-duty push-up mast. And I've got my 2 meter on top of that. I went and pulled it down a section and made sure guidelines were good because it is supposed to get breezy tomorrow.
Yeah, still being worked on a little bit, but do you get on any other bands?
Almost all of them.
Well, while you're out playing around, if you happen to stop by 53.57, the Valpo 6-meter repeater's back up. A little sketch over at my house up here in Michigan City, but if you're in the mod, you should be able to get into it real good.
Which one in Valpo? N9?
Yes, it's one of the N9 IAA repeaters. It's on 53.57. Yeah, 173.8 on the PL.
Okay, yeah, I'm on 53.57 FM. I have never tried to get in a repeater on this thing, so I will see what happens. I know there's a way to put a PL tone in here. I just don't exactly know how.
Yeah, don't forget the offset, minus 1 meg. Yeah, by the time you get it going, I should be home, and I'll give you a call on it.
Nope, that wasn't it. Trying to figure out how to get it set up.
They're all complicated. I had to do a relearning curve on my ICOM 756. Remember how to get the tone and all that. Luckily, I had some of it memorized in a memory slot.
I'm trying to figure out how to get it to adjust to drop the offset. And I'm on a FT450D for that aspect. And I get that aspect to show up, but I can't figure out how to change it.
Mine was a submenu. I had to go in and tell it 6 meters, and then you said it minus 1 meg and 28 meg. We don't have any of those around here. But you preset the band on what the offset's going to be.
I'm getting somewhere. I am getting somewhere. Now I've got to figure out the tone.
I'll be right back, Rob. WDLP, I'll be out to CBS.
Okay, I'll be here for a little bit. Yeah, I think I got it.
DLP back in the mobile. You gonna figure it out?
I sure did. I can key up the repeater from here.
Cool. I'll be home in a few minutes. I'll give you a call on it. What's the signal light look like?
Oh, well, I'm running an off-center FET dipole, and I'm guessing that's a vertical antenna. So it's a little wonky for me, but, I mean, I heard it ID pretty good.
Yeah, you got a, yeah, you're right. The repeater is vertical, but at 7 o'clock tonight, I think it is. The Chicago 6 Meter Club's on. They got their net. Is it probably, and most of them are horizontal. That's on 50.130.
Okay, yeah, when I said I play on all of them, 6 is not one I've ever really messed around with much, but, I'm excited that you piqued my interest, and I got it to work.
Likewise, yeah, trying to get more people to hang out on that repeater.
That would be interesting, huh? Yeah. Something new and adventurous. So, you learn something new in this hobby every day.
Yeah, that's on the top 5 list of if when you're over 70, which I am, and you want to try to make it to 90 or 100, make sure you have social contacts, try to learn something new every day, get onto a walk, you know.
Now I just got to figure out how to write this to memory so I don't have to go through all that again.
Mine has a WM button, and you hold it, on mine, you got to hold it for 3 seconds, and it goes, dee-dee-dee.
Well, it didn't beep, but it seems to be memory one now. I don't know, judging by what I'm hearing with the repeater coming back, it sounds rather well.
I'll be inside in a minute. I just pulled up in the driveway between my car and my wife's car with the smallest setup arm going.
Okay, yeah, well, hang out and wait for you for a little bit, and got to go in and start making dinner here shortly, but I'll wait for you.
Well, that worked well. Yeah, sometimes it's like 10 over today for some reason. The repeat at the 6 meter machine is real light. You still there, Rob? Got it. W9DLP, standing by the monitoring. Hey, Rob, are you hearing me down in demand? W9DLP.